Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatan were principal. Anupam, Jiva Goswami, and others, headed by Rajendra, were their sub-branches. Please repeat Prabhupada's translations. Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatan were principal. Anupam, Jiva Goswami, and others, headed by Rajendra, were their sub-branches. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Gaura Ganesha Deepika, it is said that Srila Jiva Goswami was formerly Vilas Manjari Gopi. From his very childhood, Jiva Goswami was greatly fond of Srimad Bhagavatam. He later came to Navadvip to study Sanskrit, and following in the footsteps of Sri Nachinanda Prabhu, he circumambulated the entire Navadvip Dham. After visiting Navadvip Dham, he went to Benares to study Sanskrit under Madhusudan Vachaspati. And after finishing his studies in Benares, he went to Vrindavan and took shelter of his uncles, Sri Rupa and Sanatan. This is described in the Bhakti Ratnakar. As far as our information goes, Srila Jiva Goswami composed and edited at least 25 books. They are all very celebrated, and they are listed as follows. 1. Harinamrita Vyakaran. This is a grammar book where the technical terms are replaced by names of Krishna. Sutra Malika. Datu Sangraha. 4. Krishna Chadipika. 5. Gopal Virudavali. 6. Rasamrita Shesha. 7. C. Madhava Mahotsav. Sri Madhava Mahotsav is a description of Radha Krishna pastimes. It's a great festival where Radharani is crowned as the queen of Vrindavan Dham. 8. Sri Sankalpa Kalpa Briksha. 9. Bhavata Suchaka Champu. 10. Gopala Tapani Tika. 11. A commentary on Brahma Sangita. 12. A commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 13. A commentary on Ujvala Nilamani. Those last two are books by Srila Rupa Goswami. 14. A commentary on Yogasara Stava. 15. A commentary on the Gayatri Mantra as described in the Agni Purana. 16. A description derived from the Padma Purana of the lotus feet of the Lord. 17. A description of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. 18. Gopala Champu in two parts. And 19 to 25, seven Sandarbhas. The Krama, Tattva, Bhagavat, Paramatma, Krishna, Bhakti, and Priti Sandarbhas. After the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami became the Acharya of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, Orissa, and the rest of the world. And it is he who used to guide them in their devotional service. In Vrindavan, he established the Radha Damodar Temple, where we had the opportunity to live and retire until the age of 65. When we decided to come to the United States of America, when Jiva Goswami was still present, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compiled his famous Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we are reading today. Later, Srila Jiva Goswami inspired Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Duki Krishnadas to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Jiva Goswami was informed that all the manuscripts that were collected from Vrindavan and sent to Bengal for preaching purposes were plundered near Vishnupur in Bengal. But later he received the information that the books had been recovered. Sri Jiva Goswami awarded the designation Kaviraj to Ramachandra Sen, a disciple of Srinivasacharya and his younger brother Govinda. While Srila Jiva Goswami was alive, Srimati Janavi Devi, the pleasure potency of Sri Nachinanda Prabhu, went to Vrindavan with a few devotees. Jiva Goswami was very kind to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas from Bengal. Whoever went to Vrindavan, he provided with a residence and prasad. His disciple, Krishnadas Adhikari, listed all the books of the Goswamis in his diary. A new paragraph. The Sahajas level three accusations against Jiva Goswami. This is certainly not congenial with the execution of devotional service. The first accusation concerns a materialist who was very proud of his reputation as a great Sanskrit scholar and approached Sri Rupa and Sanatan to argue with them about the revealed scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, not wanting to waste their time, gave him a written statement that he had defeated them in a debate on the revealed scriptures. Taking this paper, the scholar approached Jiva Goswami for a similar certificate of defeat. But Jiva Goswami did not agree to give him one. On the contrary, he argued with him regarding the scriptures and defeated him. Certainly it was right for Jiva Goswami to stop such a dishonest scholar from advertising that he had defeated Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. But due to their illiteracy, the Sahaja class referred to this incident to accuse Srila Jiva Goswami of deviating from the principle of humility. They do not know, however, that humility and meekness are appropriate when one's own honor is insulted. But when Lord Vishnu or the Acharyas are blasphemed, one should not be humble and meek, but must act. One should follow the example given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya says in his prayer, Trinadapi sunichena tadodapi sahisnuna amanina namani dena kitaniya sadahadi. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Nevertheless, when the Lord was informed that Nityananda Prabhu was injured by Jagai and Madai, he immediately went to the spot, angry like fire, wanting to kill them. Thus Lord Chaitanya has explained his verse by the example of his own behavior. One should tolerate insults against oneself, but when there is blasphemy committed against superiors, such as other Vaishnavas, one should be neither humble nor meek. One must take proper steps to counteract such blasphemy. This is the duty of a servant of a guru and Vaishnavas. Anyone who understands the principle of eternal servitude to the Guru and Vaishnavas will appreciate the action of Srila Goswami in connection with the so-called scholar's victory over his gurus, Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana Goswami. There's a difficult bit here, look. Another story fabricated to defame Srila Gajiva Goswami states that after compiling Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami showed the manuscript to Jiva Goswami, who thought that it would hamper his reputation as a big scholar and therefore threw it in a well. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was greatly shocked and he died immediately. This is a story fabricated by envious people. This isn't the fact. Understand? Yeah. Fortunately, a copy of the manuscript of Chaitanya Charitamrita had been kept by a person named Mukunda, and therefore later it was possible to publish the book. This story is another ignominious example of blasphemy against a guru and Vaishnava. Such a story should never be accepted as authoritative. This is on the internet today they have these trolls, or haters they call them, right? You heard that expression, yeah? So this blasphemy has been going on for hundreds of years. It's here, this present, even at the time of Krishnadas Kaviraj. Incidentally, I think that when devotees put on their... Devotees like to look on YouTube for Krishna conscious content. So if they post a video on their content, why don't they disable comments? You can disable comments, you know? So then you don't have to accidentally see this blasphemy from these type of people here. It's a good practice, because it just allows them to make offenses, then accidentally you sometimes read it. This is a horrible material world, and this is an example. Even the greatest of our saints, scholars, greatest Nityasiddha Vaishnavas, they're also blasphemed. Last paragraph. According to another accusation, this is the third of the three that Srila Prabhupada mentions. According to another accusation, Srila Jiva Goswami did not approve of the principles of the Parakeya Rasa of Brajadam, and therefore supported Svakeya Rasa, showing that Radha Krishna are eternally married. Actually, when Jiva Goswami was alive, some of his followers disliked the Parakeya Rasa of the gopis. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, for their spiritual benefit, supported Svakeya Rasa, for he could understand that Sahajas would otherwise exploit the Parakeya Rasa, as they are actually doing at the present. Unfortunately, in Vrindavan and Navadvip, it has become fashionable among Sahajas in their debauchery to find an unmarried sexual partner to live with to execute devotional service in Parakeya Rasa. Foreseeing this, Srila Jiva Goswami supported Svakeya Rasa, and later all the Vaishnavacharyas also approved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami was never opposed to the transcendental Parakeya Rasa, nor has any other Vaishnava disproved of it. Srila Jiva Goswami strictly followed his predecessor gurus and Vaishnavas, Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami accepted him as one of his instructor gurus. Om Gyan Atimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Miritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhu Namona Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sya Dvaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So there are different types of Vaishnava devotees. There are those coming up from conditioned life. There are third class devotees, Madhyamadikas, middle class, and there are Uttama Bhaktas, and they have different symptoms. For example, the third class devotee, he is, Prabhupada says in one place, he doesn't like to hear from authority. He doesn't like to hear, and he doesn't know that he can improve his devotional service. So, by performing service, he'll get Vasudev Kataruchi, he'll get some taste in to hear. This is the principle, that one should rise up from the third class platform and try to hear. This is the first principle that will enable one to progress in the path back to Godhead. The Majjham Bhakta, his symptoms are Krishna Bhakti Maitreya Charan Balisheta Kripa Ara Dveshi Upakchan. Majjham Bhakta, that he is has bhakti for Krishna, he is merciful to the compassionate to the fallen, he makes friends with the devotees, and he avoids the envious, like these ones that were mentioned here. He avoids them. Don't waste their time. Shastra says that if someone blasphemes a devotee in your presence, then you should leave, or you should kill him, whichever. Generally, we leave, yeah. And so, Jiva Goswami, he was blasphemed also. So these different types of devotees, then Prabhupada says that Uttama Adhikari, he is a liberated soul, he's completely free from the desire for material enjoyment. He never looks for this material world for material enjoyment. He's always chanting his 16 rounds, and his main business is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So there's also the Nitya Leela devotees who come down from the spiritual world when the Lord comes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is described in this verse in the Bhagavatam, Krishna Vanam Tvisa Krishna Sangal Pangastra Pasadam Yagya Sankirtana Praya Yajanti hi sumedasa. So Srila Jiva Goswami describes, he begins his Tattva Sandarbha, which is the first of these six Sandarbhas mentioned. He begins this with this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 11th canto. And therefore he describes that the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sangopangastra are his weapons, his associates. So when Krishna comes and sports and displays his pastimes in this material world, Jai Shri Shri Gokulananda, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna also. He comes into this material world also with his associates, with his eternal associates. Nitya Leela, Pravishtam. There's three types of devotees. There's those who achieve perfection by sadhana, those who achieve perfection by kripa, by mercy, and those who are eternally liberated. So you see this whole 10th chapter is a very extraordinary chapter, and it's naming all these personalities who were branches of the huge tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all his associates. So Srila Prabhupada said, don't think this is man worship. We worship Srila Prabhupada every day. We also worship all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. This Panchatattva verse describes that there's different Shaktis. There's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's his immediate expansion. Then there's his incarnation. Then there's his devotional energy. And then there's the pure devotee. This is represented by Srivas Thakur. So don't think that when we're worshipping all these devotees that they're on the material platform and Krishna's spiritual. They're all on the spiritual platform. Therefore, our worship of those things in relation to Krishna, they are just as good as worship of Krishna. Lord Shiva says, actually, to worship Tadiya, those things in connection with Krishna, are just as beneficial, even more beneficial than worshipping Krishna. Krishna loves his devotees, and his devotees are fully dedicated to Krishna. Therefore, one should worship them on the same spiritual level as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Srila Prabhupada, we come, we pay obeisance to Srila Prabhupada, we sing prayers to the spiritual master, and we sing prayers to Krishna, we bow down to Krishna. So we accept them on the same spiritual platform. Therefore, when you go to Vrindavan, you'll see not only temples of Krishna, but you'll see temples of the devotees. They're called samadhis. And by bowing down and praying at the samadhis, taking the dust from the samadhis, one is getting the mercy and blessings of those Vaishnavas. The samadhi is special. We talk about the birth, the appearance of a Vaishnava, and the disappearance. Of the two, the disappearance is more important. For example, to be born in Vrindavan is glorious. To reside in Vrindavan is glorious. But to leave your body in Vrindavan is the most glorious. It's the most auspicious, Shastra says. So sometimes these samadhis of the Goswamis are, they don't have the body interned, they have some flowers, or they have some items. Just like you go to Srila Prabhupada's rooms, there's his personal effects, even here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So those personal effects are actually worshipable. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita about everything becoming spiritualized by devotional service. The body becomes spiritualized, one's possessions become spiritualized, the place where the devotee spent time becomes spiritualized. So there are gradations. If Srila Prabhupada, for example, went to Conway Hall to give a lecture, that becomes a tirtha, a holy place. It's not the same as a dham, like Bhaktivedanta Manadham, where he resided and spent more and more time than these occasional visits. So these gradations are there. So one derives benefit from remembering the pure devotee. This is the point. The whole purpose of Shastra is to remember Krishna. And the whole purpose of spiritual life is to attain samadhi, where one is always thinking of Krishna. So when the pure devotees leave the planet and enter samadhi, that place becomes very holy place. So we are followers of the six Goswamis. I've listened to a lecture the other day. Srila Prabhupada said, we sing this song every day. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo Si Jiva Gopalako. So it seems that when Srila Prabhupada was there in America, that was one of their morning songs or evening songs. Every day they would sing it. I haven't heard it here for a long time, that song. So we should understand, Narottam Das Thakur says, when will I be eager to read the books of the Goswamis? And we see that it's not so easy to read the books of the Goswamis. I do book tables, and I can't tell you how many times people look at the Bhagavad Gita and say, oh, I've got that. I tried to read it. It was very difficult. They can't even get past without the association of devotees. Even the Bhagavad Gita is very difficult for them. Although Srila Prabhupada says different things about the Bhagavad Gita, in one lecture he says that the Bhagavad Gita is a very simple text. It's very basic. The point is that one must try to become more and more elevated to increase one's capacity to read this literature. So from the Bhagavad Gita, when we are purified from practicing devotional service, we can progress and read Srimad Bhagavatam. And then when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, our appreciation for Bhagavad Gita actually expands. You see? When we read Krishna's pastimes, pastimes of the Pandavas, Bhishma on the battlefield, the retirement of the Pandus, etc., all in the first canto, this is Shukadev's Mahabharat. So then we can appreciate that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita within this story, within this format. And then Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended, the six Goswamis, they descended with him, and so many others. Actually, all his associates mentioned in this 10th chapter of Adi Leela, they are all Nitya Siddha. They are all eternally liberated souls. And Krishna Das Kaviraj says, simply by remembering their names, simply by having faith that all these associates, they're eternally liberated, one also becomes liberated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells his associates in certain times that whoever attends this festival, they'll come with me. Every time I come to the material world, they'll come with me. And the devotees are all jai. So the Lord is not alone. Puranas say Bahu Sham, the one Lord, he became many to increase his enjoyment. So the Jiva Shakti is spiritual. Unfortunately, it becomes covered by this material energy, and we take this journey of millions of lifetimes trying to enjoy other material energy and imitate Krishna. Icha Dvesha Samutena. So to give up this association of material energy, all we have to do is agree to serve Krishna and to take the association of the Vaishnavas. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he established the Srimad Bhagavatam as the main pramana, the main evidence, the essence of all the Vedas. And he instructed the six Goswamis, especially Sri Rupa Sanatan, to expand this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. So all of their literature is based practically, extracted and expanded from Srimad Bhagavatam, unlimitedly. You can write volumes and volumes of books on these subjects. For example, just one chapter of Krishna book, chapter 21, His Holiness Shivaram Raj has made one whole book just on one chapter. So these Goswamis were like that. They took the verse and then they expanded it unlimitedly. So by the mercy of modern Vaishnavas, they are also expanding this Goswami work and making it more accessible. Our business is to get more purified. I remember when I first joined, it was a struggle to read translations, read the books. But now I can read, I can take it in a bit more. But if you start to read Tattva Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami, it is very difficult. I'm praying one day to be purified to be able to read that. Now the Goswamis were very interesting. For example, our main three acharyas are Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. Sanatan Goswami established this. He's famous for establishing the Sambandha. And there's these deities, Radha Mohan, Radha Govinda, and Radha Gopinath. So it's a very curious, it's mentioned in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita that first you attracted to the deity of Krishna through the mercy of Sanatana Goswami. You worship the Radha Madan Mohan deity. Then to practice the sadhana, abhideya, one worships Radha Govinda. And then to achieve the goal, one worships Radha Gopinath. So their literature is subsequently categorized like this. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, mainly Abhideya, and then Raghunath Das Goswami, he wrote books which describe the perfection, what's happened when you're actually in love of Godhead. So Jiva Goswami, on the other hand, he became the Acharya after the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatan. He became the Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and he wrote these extremely philosophical texts. So he became the greatest theologian and philosopher. There's a department in the University of Benares, Varanasi, which is dedicated solely to studying the books of Srila Jiva Goswami. And there's some mention, some British library connection to Srila Jiva Goswami. You know, anyone know what that is? No. So anyway, he was such a great theologian, great philosopher. And Gopi Pranadana, he's got this Tapa Sandarbha. It's fairly difficult. I'm trying to study it one day, little bits. So we should be, when we are joining the family of Krishna, yeah? And there's all these devotees here. We think we're leaving behind so many things, giving up the material world. Actually, we're joining this massive society, family of Vaishnavas, and it's much, much bigger than our paltry families and traditions in the material world. Of course, Arjuna talks about family tradition, and it has some importance in Vedic times. Arjuna was arguing with Krishna, this family tradition maintains dharma, etc. But in Kali Yuga, generally, that family tradition is broken. So we are coming in this parampara. I remember when I got initiated, my guru wrote me a letter. He said, now you're a card-carrying member of the disciplic succession. Yeah? Initiation into the Vaishnava family. Evam parampara praptam imam raja sayovidu. So the point is, one has to receive the knowledge in the parampara. And we are followers of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were all generally devotees of, all completely, sorry, devotees of Radharani and Krishna. So we could talk a little bit about these books. That's what I was going to say. So the three levels, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan, they're in every sphere of life. If you want to learn bricklaying, you can study a book on bricklaying, but then you have to go to a bricklayer and learn how to do it. And then the goal is that you can do it. So in any subject matter, you need book knowledge, assimilation and practice of that knowledge, and then prayojan, the goal. So we are on the beginning platform. We're trying to chant the holy name of Krishna, trying to purify our existence by giving up the pursuits of Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada says, if we continue to chant the prescribed rounds, follow the rules, then gradually we'll rise to the highest level. This is the system. Okay. Hare Krishna. We have any questions, comments? Rajabhumi? Yes. Sure, I was going to do that actually, if I ran out of things to say. Nana Shastra Vicharane Kavipino Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro. So we have to understand that the six Goswamis, they extracted the essence of all the Shastra, Puranas and Vedas. We are getting the us essence, Shadam Shadam. Bhagavatam says this is the cream of the cream of Vedic knowledge. No need to go anywhere else. Bhagavatam even begins like that. There's no need to read any other scripture. Simply focus on the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and one will get all knowledge, Krishna says. So I offer my respects to the six Goswamis who are always engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing. They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they are popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians, because they are not envious of everyone, of anyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone, and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they engage in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. Says, just like Lord Krishna empowered Lord Brahma to create the universe, in the same way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Rupa Goswami to excavate the lost pastimes of Vrindavan. When you go to Vrindavan now, you see all these samadhis and temples, all from 500 years ago. Otherwise, there was a history of Vrindavan is there, it goes, becomes barren and forgotten, and then it's revived over and over again. Time destroys everything. So the Goswamis, they were responsible. And they attracted these wealthy Kshatriyas and landholders, Vaishyas, and the money they got, they decorated. They had a competition, who could decorate the land of Vrindavan. So that Punjabi king, he built Kusum Sarova. He was from Punjab, decorating the land of Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisance to the six Goswamis who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis who are very much enriched in understanding Lord Chaitanya and who are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are saviors of the living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. I offer my respectful obeisance to the six Goswamis who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who were always engaged in worshipping Radha and Krishna in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, where there are beautiful trees full of fruits and flowers, which have under their roots all valuable jewels. The Goswamis are perfectly competent to bestow upon the living entities the greatest boon of the goal of life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, who were engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way they utilize their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities they conquered over eating and sleeping and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto six Goswamis who were sometimes on the bank of Radhakund Lake or the shores of the Yamuna and sometimes at Vanshivat. There they appeared just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Hey Radhe Brajate Vike Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kata. I offer my respectful obeisances to six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Das. Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the bank, on the hill of Govardhan, or are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. Sad Goswami ki jai, Shri Jiva Goswami ki jai.